are going to talk about the benefits of taking a gap year, a year off between high school and college. Did you do this? Or how about your child? I'm Joy Cardine, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Some recent high school grads are skipping college move-in day this week and hopping planes to faraway lands. Our guest coming up is a Wisconsin woman who will be spending the next year in Africa instead of a dorm. And we will also talk with an advocate for the gap year, and we will find out why. And we will welcome your experiences, and we'll welcome your thoughts and questions about taking a gap year. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Abby Falick, founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year. That's an organization that helps high school graduates build self-awareness and grit during a gap year before college. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. So, why encourage people to take a gap year?
Let me count the ways. Yeah. I've been an advocate for this since I was 18, finished high school, had done the checklist, had gotten into Stanford, and I found myself exhausted. I knew I was on a treadmill. I was hungry to step off and have an experience in the real world that would help reinvigorate my love of learning and give me a sense of purpose for college. And I was frustrated, because I actually wasn't able to find an experience like what we've now designed with Global Citizen Year nearly two decades later. And we're living at a time when high school has become this high-stakes game to get into college. Kids are running toward some sense of a goal without a deeper sense of the why. We're also watching as kids get to college that they often arrive underprepared socially and emotionally. So we're seeing the highest levels of stress and anxiety that we've ever seen among college students. One-third of college freshmen not coming back for a second year. Mm. On average, kids are taking 6 years to get through four-year college. Now, for those who do graduate, the situation isn't terrific either, as many of us are well aware. We've just seen a recent Gallup poll that says 96% of college presidents say their kids are ready for the workforce. 11% of employers agree. And one of the primary disconnects has to do with the global skills that are so essential for a young person to be prepared to engage in our global economy today. And study abroad, unfortunately, doesn't cut it. It's often about exporting a group of American students to an American university-style experience in another country. So what we're focused on at Global Citizen Year is using this gap year, or as we like to say, it's a launch pad between high school and college, as an opportunity for young people to develop global skills and perspectives that set them up not only to make the most of college, but to be best prepared to launch into careers of impact.
Yeah. Give us a sense as to how many, and we'll get into more details of your program, but give us a sense as to how many high school graduates are taking advantage of a gap year or a launch pad year, whether or not that number's growing.
The number is growing. It's been a thrill to watch the momentum build, and the trend is it's really going to be irreversible, in my view, because it makes more and more sense. I envision a time when, you know, an employer will look at your resume and ask why you went straight from high school to college, or when a young person feels FOMO or the fear of missing out if they do go straight rather than taking time to figure out who they are and what they care about. So the things that have contributed to this growing trend, one is really some of the things I was just sharing about families really questioning the value and purpose of college and questioning the timing of it. So doesn't it make sense to send a student to school when they're ready to declare both a major and a mission, when they're there not burnt out, but they've got burning questions that are going to drive their education? It increases the return on that college investment to make sure that once you arrive, you know what the questions are you're trying to answer with your education. The other things that have contributed to the trend, one was a year ago when Malia Obama declared that she wasn't going to go straight to Harvard, she was going to take a gap year. suddenly everybody took note. And what had once, I think, been considered something that was maybe a plan B or a default if you didn't get into college, suddenly became aspirational. If the president's daughter was choosing this path before going to Harvard University, there was something there that was not to be looked down on, but it was actually something to aspire to. And then the final piece, and we've seen interest in Global Citizen Year specifically increase manyfold just in the last 12 months. And we think it has to do with the social, political, and sort of economic climate of our country and this unique moment that we're sitting in historically where young people are hungry to do something. There is a sense that we're living through unprecedented times, that we need more connection to others who've grown up in contexts that are different from our own. There's a sense of a need to engage in the world at a moment when America is retreating from the global conversation. And I think all of this has contributed to what we're seeing as just a dramatic increase in interest among young people who are hungry to develop themselves in a global context as a new on-ramp into their higher education.
Todd on Facebook says, I took multiple gap years, completed two terms of service with AmeriCorps, and saw a good chunk of the country. I did a lot of good through volunteering and earned money towards college. Had I gone straight to college after high school, I would not have done nearly as well as I did. A reaction, and do we have evidence that those who take a gap year do better than others?
We have so much evidence, and the evidence base is growing. And we also see it anecdotally with countless kids and parents who look at this year as essentially the insurance policy or the down payment to make sure that college is done in a way that's, again, that's purposeful rather than sort of by default. We have kids who describe getting to their freshman year knowing what it is they care about, knowing the why behind their education, selecting courses from the course catalog based on these hunches that they have about the things that they want to investigate, whether it's about figuring out who they are and who they want to become or what they want to learn about the world. So we've supported nearly 600 young people through the Global Citizen Year program, and we track them very carefully. And what we see time and again is they get to college with more self-awareness, more sense of self-confidence, a stronger sense of purpose for their education. And then we watch as they're moving through college very deliberately. So where the national average is that it's taking 6 years, our kids are getting through in 4 years or less. And one of the things that we're most proud of is that that statistic holds even for the subset of our fellows and alumni who are coming from low-income backgrounds or might otherwise be at risk of not making it through college. So the sad fact in this country is that for low-income or first-gen college students or minority students, they are graduating at a rate of 8% over 6 years. And one of the things that we've seen through the Global Citizen Year experience is that it builds confidence and a growth mindset and a sense of belonging that allows those students to know why they're in college and know why they're persisting.
Yeah, we will be talking with one of your students in just a few minutes. We'll be welcoming in a student who's from Kenosha who is preparing to spend a year in Senegal and in Africa. And what about what does Global Citizen? Where do your students go, and what do they do?
So each year we scour the country looking for the highest potential young leaders we can find. Now, we're not screening for test scores or grades. We're looking for curiosity, motivation, and drive, some evidence that you have rallied your peers around a cause, that you've been resourceful in addressing a problem in your own community, and that you are hungry and committed to take this year to develop yourself, to learn in and from the world, and to carry those skills and perspectives into college and the rest of your life. So we recruit and then train a really diverse core of emerging leaders. So this year's incoming class has young people from 30 states across the country. 80% of our fellows receive need-based financial aid in order to participate, and a third are participating on a fully funded scholarship. So by design, each of our cohorts is meant to reflect our country's diversity, racially, socioeconomically, geographically. I'm calling in right now from Stanford University, where we're in the midst of our week-long global launch. So this is a week of training that sets up the Global Citizen Year, where we introduce our fellows to entrepreneurs, leading thinkers and doers in global development, in business and philanthropy, all a set of framework and a context for the types of careers that our fellows might want to pursue and the types of questions they can carry into the heart of their experience, which is 8 months where they live with a family and work on a community project in a country across Africa, Latin America, and Asia. So they're on the ground, deeply immersed, fully engaged, staying longer than most flyby travel programs, learning to master a new language, walking in other people's shoes, shifting their perspective from they to we, and developing empathy, insight, and conviction that's going to guide everything they do for the rest of their lives.
We had a caller who wanted to know exactly how high school students can pay for a gap year. In your program, you're saying that you can provide scholarships and or financial aid. But you want to talk just in general about whether this is for everyone to take a gap year?
So I have begun to think that we can't afford not to in many cases. So when we think of the cost of going to college, paying for college, before you know why you're there and how you want to use it, it ends up taking longer. It's less directed and directive. And the opportunity to invest in oneself and one's sense of focus before then making that follow-on investment in the college experience is one that just makes economic sense, frankly. And just to emphasize, you know, Global Citizen Year has been committed from the beginning. We're set up as a not-for-profit by design so that we can value access and opportunity and social impact as our bottom line. And we've been successful in raising very significant amounts of philanthropy from foundations and individuals who support a scholarship fund and who are committed to leveling the playing field to make sure that this experience is accessible to the best kids we can find, regardless of their financial circumstance.
Yeah, and you actively look for people from all socioeconomic classes, and so you have a diverse group.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's probably the most diverse group that these kids are ever going to get to be a part of, and that's part of what we're trying to address as a social enterprise, with a mission of uniting young people from all backgrounds and giving them the opportunity to shift their perspective and transform their approach to leadership, to think about how to work and think and act across lines of difference, which, as we know acutely today, is just so much of what our country needs.
Yeah. And how many students each year do you, you said 600?
So we launched in 2010 with a cohort of 11 very courageous fellows. We've grown now to 140 who are setting off on Saturday for their Global Citizen Year. And we have a vision that 10 years from now, we have 10,000 young people a year moving through a Global Citizen Year.
We are talking with Abby Falick, and she is the founder and CEO of Global Citizen. Global Citizen Year, it's an organization that helps build self-awareness and grit during a gap year before college. And we are welcoming your questions for her, and we're welcoming your own stories. Did you take a gap year? Did your child take a gap year? Are you encouraging your child to take a gap year? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So what are the benefits of taking a year off between high school and college? Are there any disadvantages in your mind? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about taking a gap year, taking a year off between high school and college, and whether or not this is a good idea or not. Our guest says it's a very good idea, especially through her organization, Global Citizen Year. It's an organization that helps high school graduates during a gap year for before college. Abby Falick stays with us, but we welcome in another guest. Very happy to have with us a student from Kenosha, Wisconsin, who is preparing to take off on her gap year. Sarah Candy is our guest. She is from Kenosha. She's in California now, preparing to spend a year in Senegal. She wants to bring back lessons from her experience in Africa and inspire other Wisconsinites to explore the world. And Sarah also joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So tell us, Sarah, why did you decide that you wanted to take a gap year?
Yeah, well, it was actually never in my plan, but I was applying to some colleges for a regular decision during my second semester of high school, and I found an article written by Global Citizen Year that the title was something along the lines of Five Benefits of Taking a Gap Year. And so I read it, and I searched their program a little bit, and I became a little bit obsessed with the idea of traveling and living in another place and becoming immersed. And so I looked into the Global Citizen Year program, and I looked into other ones. But Global Citizen Year is the only one that caught my eye. They have a very unique program, and that is the full immersion with language and homestay and the apprenticeship. So I started looking into it, and I applied while I was also still applying to college. And then, obviously, I had the decision of college or this great global year, and so the decision was made shortly after.
So tell us what you will be doing.
That is something that I'll find out very soon. I get an apprenticeship, and it can be anything in the medical, education, women's like empowerment field. I've just recently kind of expressed what I want to learn, and they kind of gauge that from each individual, and then they set you up with that when you're in country, and they set you up with your host family and where you'll be in the country, because you can be in various regions.
Yeah, so you will be you'll be doing some sort of work while you're in Africa.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yep.
Why didn't you decide, Sarah, to, I don't know, go hitchhike across the country and or, you know, go down to a tropical island and sit on the beach all day? Why did you decide you wanted to go work in Africa?
Absolutely. Well, this program offers training, and so we are learning how to become citizens where we can engage in this community and help out. You know, if I were to just, you know, pick up and backpack, I'm not getting all this help and all this training to really make an impact, you know, and my goal is to learn. The how I view it is that the world is, you know, a big classroom, you know, and I would not be learning anything if I just picked up. And also, I think a very special part of this program is that like, for example, the reason I'm in California right now is because we're training and we're preparing to have the greatest impact on this community. And so it's the benefit of it. If I just packed up and left, there's no great thing. There's nothing to gain from it, you know?
Yeah. And what do you want to do after your gap year? Do you have any idea of, you know, what field you want to pursue or where you want to go to school?
That's the funny thing. I've kind of had that plan forever, and then now that I'm doing this gap year, I'm questioning it all. So I'm really hoping that I will be able to narrow down my list and really figure out what means to me, what is important to me, and how I can really have an impact, you know, and I want to help people. And I think that really is something that I'll learn how to do and how over my gap year. So just like many students say, they want to, quote, find their self during their year. I just want to figure out what's best for me. So I've got some ideas in mind, so maybe some globalization, some business, but it's all kind of gauging what people need and how I can assess and, you know, do that in the future.
Sarah Candy is from Kenosha. She is preparing to take her gap year with the organization Global Citizen Year. Also with us is Abby Falick, who is the founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year, which is an organization that helps high school graduates in their gap year, taking a year off between high school and college. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. If you have a question for either of our guests, or if you have your own story to share about maybe you took a gap year, what did you do and did it help you? Or are you encouraging, or is your one of your children taking a gap year or taken a gap year? Abby, I did want to ask you before we start taking calls. Sarah said that she kind of had it all planned out at first, but now she's questioning whether she's going to go to the college of her choice and study the field that she was thinking of studying. That's part of what the gap year is good for. You try to help your high school graduates in your program with build self-awareness, because maybe we're better suited to a different field.
That's exactly right, Joy. And for us, it's a wonderful outcome when a young person at age 18, who's still just forming their sense of who they are and what they want, what they care about and who they want to become, has an experience that helps set them up to know where to aim. Sort of, it's about throwing away the map and developing a compass instead, a sense of your true north. And we've had countless fellows come through our program dead set on a certain college or a certain career path, typically because that's been what was expected of them, whether it's from their family or their friends. And they come back with more self-confidence and more self-awareness to know, hey, I've got a better sense of what I think is actually going to make me feel happy and fulfilled over time. And I'm going to get started on that now rather than when I turn 30 and look back and feel like, oh my gosh, I was actually off track for that last decade. And it's taken me that long to figure out what it is I'm really passionate about.
Yeah. And is that what you mean by helping the students develop grit?
Yeah, grit for us is about resilience. And the unfortunate reality of it is that our education system right now is designed to keep kids filing in line. There's a book called Excellent Sheep. Often, you know, very good at what they're doing, but without a sense of the why, and often without a sense of what it means to fail and get back up. So grit for us is the stick-to-itiveness that says, don't give up when it's hard, double down, stick with it, and develop that muscle that allows you to be more resilient, more adaptable, more comfortable with ambiguity, which are, frankly, going to be the most important and most valued human skills of the future, especially at a time when we're seeing robots and AI start to outcompete us on some of the cognitive stuff. We need to be rethinking education to focus on the things that are uniquely human, and resilience and grit are at the top of that list.
So I'm back to Sarah. Did you choose Senegal, or did Global Citizen Year pick Senegal for you?
I was going through all the countries and kind of assessing what I wanted to gain from the program. And I was going between two, and you can list them and kind of choose and tell them what you like about each country. And so Senegal was my top, actually, and so they try really hard to give each student their top choice. And so I did get it, and I think they helped me make the decision a lot, because the other country I was considering was a Spanish country, and I already know quite a bit of Spanish, and this program is not about, you know, going into somewhere where you feel comfortable. You know, it's about learning because you don't know. And so they helped me, and they chose an African country with me that's completely different from anything I've ever experienced, and I couldn't picture it any other way. I'm so excited for Senegal.
I bet you are. Sarah doesn't know exactly what she'll be doing in Senegal. Abby, what are you going to determine after the training, maybe where she's best suited, or how does that work?
Yeah, we call it the matching process, and we take it really seriously. So we have teams on the ground in each of the countries where we operate, and these are staff who we've hired and trained who are often local to the communities where they're going to be overseeing a team of our fellows. And this onboarding and training process is really an opportunity for us to get to know the fellows, what drives them, and what types of placements, whether it's urban or rural, in education, health, the environment, will be the best match to help them learn what it is that they're here to learn.
We have full lines, so let's take some questions and stories from our listeners. Rose in Toma is with us first. Hi, Rose.
Hi, good morning.
Your daughter is doing a gap year.
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
She's actually between her her undergrad and her, she'll be going on to physical therapy in a year, and was accepted and just found herself feeling honored but not excited. And so she decided to take a gap year. Hers has several components. She started out hiking 240 miles of the Superior Hiking Trail in Minnesota. Then she went on to Africa, where she'd been twice before and was leading a menstrual cup project so that the girls can go to school, and a number of other things that we do there. And then she'll be heading for Nepal in 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Now, is she doing this through an organization, a church, all on her own?
She's a little older, so I think it's a little easier. She'll actually, in Nepal, she'll be through a woofer program, which is a really inexpensive way to do it. It's worldwide opportunities in organic farming. So you just pay for your flight there, and then they give you room and board for working on their farm. And so she'll be raising fish and goats.
Oh, my goodness.
And working in gardens. She'll be working with a teacher, so there's a school very close that she can get into. And you can stay as long as you want. If she finds another opportunity, she'd love to do something in women's empowerment or women's health. She could leave the farm and do that for her last 3 months as well.
I'm curious. So she might not, or you think she still will go to graduate school for physical therapy?
Oh, although, she says, I want to change the world. So, she's open to changing through this experience as well.
Thank you so much for calling, Rose. And it's interesting because my, I had a niece who was also had graduated from college with a degree, and if you really wanted to advance with that degree, you needed to get go on with school, but decided to take a gap year and is actually found something she really loves doing and is not going to go on to graduate school. Abby, any thoughts on that as the gap year? Not between high school and college, but between undergraduate and graduate school.
I'm a big fan of stepping back from our lives to see it from a distance, to hit refresh, to figure out what we need at various transition points. And I think there's an opportunity to use every transition as a moment to just hit refresh and make sure that the path we're getting back onto is one we're doing deliberately. So, we're emphasizing this transition between high school and college, which traditionally in America has not been something young people have done. We've got this race to the finish line mentality that sends kids from school straight into more school. And what we're seeing is the totally missed opportunity to help a young person at age 18 really develop a sense of, as we've said here, who they are, who they're becoming before those values and identities have solidified.
Yeah. I just think that's amazing that Rose's daughter is going to go, to Nepal and I don't know, do some organic farming and that kind of a thing. Well, Sarah, you too. You find the world travel to be one of the most attractive things about this?
Oh, absolutely. When I traveled out of the country for the first time during my junior year of high school, it was only for 2 weeks, and it was actually in India, and I gained more in those 2 weeks than I did my entire junior year of high school, So the fact that I am learning from everything and every person wherever I go, whether it's in the States or not, everything's a teacher. So I'm going to have this new family and these people at work and just everyone in the community. They're going to be teaching me everything I know or everything they know, and I'm going to understand the world in an entirely new perspective.
Yeah. And Abby, I should have asked you this before. I know you want to help high school graduates build their self-awareness and maybe increase their success in life beyond their gap year. But why global citizen? Why is the global nature of this so important?
Well, there are a lot of opportunities for young people to have domestic experiences. And I think somebody had written in and described their experience of AmeriCorps, which is a way to have an experience in the U.S. It can be done during a gap year before college. For us, the missed opportunity is giving young Americans a deep and personal experience of other parts of the world. So we've got a generation growing up that is, they're inherently global, right? They are immersed in technology and global media. They're aware that the challenges facing our globe are crossing borders, whether it's migration or climate change or poverty and inequity. And there's no going back. The world is interconnected, and the next generation of leaders understands that those are skills and experiences and relationships that they need to build in order to be engaged citizens. It's like global citizen becomes a redundant term because, of course, we need to be globally oriented in the 21st century.
Thank you very much, Rose, for the call. We go next to Dale in Madison. Hi, Dale.
Good morning, and thank you. I want to applaud the idea of a gap year and getting out and getting new experiences to expand your lifestyle. But as an alternative, sometimes the year or the finances of that year don't work. I mean, I'd like to propose what I did, which is what I'll call, I'll steal your words, a gap summer. Between high school and college, I worked as a physical laborer with a household moving company. Just hourly work for muscle.
Yeah.
And it got me outside my upper middle class lifestyle, gave me experiences in meeting other people from other economic levels. It taught me the value of doing hard work to get whatever job you have to do done. And it also helped me realize the value of college, using my brain instead of my brawn.
All right. Thank you, Dale. So he took a gap summer of hard labor. Abby, is that comparable?
I think experiences like this in any form, it's about getting outside of our comfort zone, exactly as he described. We talk about our focus, which is to hold our fellows in what we call the stretch zone. We don't learn when we're comfortable. We also don't learn when we're panicked, but we learn when we're feeling stretched and supported. And with the global citizen year in particular and the global placements, one of our goals is helping young people develop fluency in a new language. And that is actually a factor of how much time you spend and how deep you go. So that's one of the reasons that we're so committed to a longer-term, deeper, immersive placement.
Yeah. And Sarah, I forgot the your job choices or possibilities, I should say. They're not all super comfy jobs, are they, or are they?
No, they're not. They can be something you've never done before. And, of course, you are being, you're in another language, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a long time to get used to it. But, yeah, I have no idea what to expect, but I'm up for anything, no matter what they place me in.
We are talking with two guests about taking a gap year, taking a year off between high school and college. One of our guests is doing that. She is Sarah Candy from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and she's right now in California preparing to spend a year in Senegal. She is going to be spending time in Africa, and between now and next year, maybe she will pursue college after this experience. We're also talking with Abby Falick, who is founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year, which is an organization that helps high school graduates during a gap year before college. So do you have questions for our guests, or do you have an experience you'd like to share? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We are talking with Kenosha High School graduate about why she is spending the next year in Africa instead of a college dorm, and a guest who advocates for taking off a year between high school and college, taking a gap year. We are talking about the benefits of taking a gap year. Well, we should talk a little bit about whether there are any disadvantages. We wonder if you did this or if you're Children have done this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Abby Falick is the founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year, which is an organization that helps high school graduates during a gap year before college. And Sarah Candy is participating in this organization, the Global Citizen Year, and she will be spending the next year in Senegal. Well, let's take another call from Kevin in Janesville. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah, good for you to question your entire plan before you go on to this trap we call adulthood. Abby, a quick question. Could colleges and universities partner with your program so that these participants could maybe earn some college credit while they're serving the world? And another question, comment is maybe 1 year isn't enough. Maybe we need more like a 2 or 3 year domestic or international service. Maybe we just need to think more globally than we do, and maybe the perception of Americans around the world would change dramatically.
Oh, interesting. Abby, any thoughts?
I love this question, and it's been really, really exciting to see colleges starting to come to us with exactly the same interest that you're suggesting. So colleges were interested, excited about young people who are going to be students with motivation and a sense of direction and purpose, that they're sometimes offering preferred admission to Global Citizen Year alums. They offer financial aid and, in some cases, course credit. So we have a couple of partnerships now set up with universities that have designed what they call a 1+4 year program. And Tufts University has led the way here, where in their admissions letters it says, congratulations, check this box if you'd like to take a year before you come. And Tufts actually provides financial aid to make sure that this experience is accessible to their full spectrum of students. On the other extreme, we've got partnerships with colleges that say this doesn't need to be an extra year of time and cost. This can be the front end of college, and we can provide course credit for the experiential learning and the classroom-based learning and some additional reading and writing and then a portfolio of work that students can submit at the other end. And so we have some examples of students who are able to come back with sophomore standing where this year has actually been year one of their college experience.
So how about 2-3 years or more instead of just one, Abby?
It's a dream to get there. We're sort of starting smaller with a bite that we think is a little bit more palatable. I know that one of the primary concerns that families have about making this decision and taking this leap of faith is whether or not their kids will actually end up going to college, or the worry that they might then get off track. And for us, we've found that this 1 year is a perfect amount of time to bridge from the high school to the college experience in a way that lands students in their higher education with a renewed passion and sense of the role that school will play in helping them achieve the plans and dreams that they have. That's not to say that more time might not make sense for some students, but in our experience, it's kind of a perfect recipe, because you've got your senior year of high school, you've got your global year out in the world, and then you come back to your freshman year. And in some sense, it's like you haven't skipped a beat. You've just taken a different path.
Ryan on Facebook says, I wanted to take a year off in between high school and college, but I knew I would never go back. Gary on Facebook says, some people's gap year turns into a lifetime. I think, Abby, you just said that's not really the case.
One of the things that that we've been interested in is the terminology we use around a gap. So if you think about it, the metaphor suggests that you're falling into a hole, and you may or may not come out of it. And it's one of the reasons that we've actually focused on calling it a bridge year, or calling it a launch pad, calling it something more that describes what this year can be, which is not something that gets you off track, but if it's done on purpose and by design, not by default and in a sort of wandering way, if it has those key elements, it can be the most directed way to get you from high school to college, in a way that sets you up to have more passion, more purpose, and a clearer motivation, again, as we've talked about, for the role that college plays in developing the skill set that will set you apart.
Yeah. And Sarah, you fully intend to continue on in college. You're just wondering if you will pursue the career path you had originally thought you would.
Absolutely, yeah. College has always been on my agenda, and it will continue to be after this year. I'm so excited for the education I get there, but I think, as Abby was saying, that this is the best way to begin that.
Yeah, and I meant to ask you, Abby, about that because I know that you call it a bridge year more so than the gap year, and that's why, because it's not a hole. It's a launching pad or a bridge over to college. So maybe I'll use both the terms. I think just in the popular culture, we hear gap year all the time. Saeed in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Saeed.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. While applauding these efforts, I wanted to make a comment that they're inadequate. If you think about the fact that there's a very significant gap in what we know about the world and what the world knows about us, you'll realize how important exposure to other cultures, other languages is, and we don't do a very good job of that in our educational system. In Green Bay, we started a Wisconsin International School because of that very thought, and we have introduced a Mandarin for the first time in our community, where people are the significant numbers of students are enrolling in learning Mandarin. And when you think about the fact that the Chinese economy is set to become the largest in the world, and how little we know about them in comparison to how much they know about us, that asymmetry should be of significant national interest. And we should be focusing on that in our entire educational process, not just the gap years and the education abroad as a one-time. When you think about all the people that go abroad for a study abroad of a half a semester or a semester, how many come back fluent in that language? Very, very little. But if you have total immersion, language acquisition embedded in our educational system, many more people will learn.
All right. Thank you, Saeed. Well, Abby, you want to change that too?
I couldn't agree more. What we're doing is meant to address a gap that we are seeing educationally, but it's also in hopes that we can collaborate with so many other efforts that are needed, particularly in the K-12 system, around language learning, around global studies, and then the experience of a global year at the other end of high school can then be a capstone, not a replacement. One of the things that we're seeing is that as our alumni come back from their global citizen year, they are so passionate about the cause of making sure that more Americans develop a global perspective, learn a new language, and travel and live and work abroad in ways that look very different from our traditional notion of study abroad, which, as you mentioned, has a lot of limits. It tends to be pretty insulated, not fully immersive. And our vision, and we're already starting to see this play out, is that our alums become advocates who are shaping school policy, education policy nationally, who are leading corporations and philanthropic endeavors, all in the service of making sure that more young Americans have deeper and more significant exposure to other parts of the world.
Yeah. David on Facebook says your guest says that a gap year helps students graduate faster, but if a student takes a gap year, they are already adding a year to the time it will take them to complete college under the idea that a single year will make them discover their lifelong goals. Many college dropouts drop out or take longer to graduate, not because they are unfocused, but because of economic reasons, such as needing to work jobs to help pay for tuition. I don't see how a gap year is beneficial to those students, especially since college gets more expensive every single year. You want to address that concern, Abby?
Yeah. In our experience, again, this focus and directedness for studies does play a really significant role in time to graduation. I would also emphasize that, and one of the things we talked about at the beginning, had to do with this disconnect between the skills that we're able to teach and learn in a lecture hall or on a campus or in a classroom, the disconnect between those skills and what is actually most valued in a global economy. So when I look at our fellows and the things that they've learned how to do around being entrepreneurial,
creative, resourceful, empathetic. These skills are so highly valued in the workplace that it sets them apart and sets them up to be so employable on the other end. So I would say to take the long view and look at the economic equation, which to me plays out in a way that shows that making this investment upfront in a young person's learning and growth and skill set, sort of human skill set, is one that sets them up to not only make college count, but to then be in a position to be even more marketable when they enter the workforce.
Here's an interesting story from Cindy on Facebook. She says, our son was accepted to the University of Vermont, then became curious about a gap year. That made me very nervous that he would never get around to going to college. I called the dean of students, and he said that if he ruled the world, he would require everyone, especially boys, take a gap year. Isn't that interesting? And then she goes on to say, our son took a semester with National Outdoor Leadership and a two-month service project to Peru. He went back to college and graduated with the highest honor they give for scholarship, leadership, and service. So there's something to look forward to, Sarah.
Pardon?
I was just asking you to react to that story because I wanted to bring you back into the conversation.
Yes, absolutely. No, I agree. Every school, like Abby said, has been, you know, slowly advocating for this. And when I go to university, it's going to be an entirely different experience. And I will be able to do all different stuff, you know, things that can help people in service projects and, you know, maybe even begin stuff in college. So, of course, her son certainly took the correct path and obviously was rewarded for it, both in college and, you know, physically rewarded. Absolutely. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah. How about Abby, it should be required?
Yeah, well, I believe that. I really do. And we're actually working behind the scenes with college admissions deans from across the country, from the Ivy League schools to big public schools, who across the board feel the same way. They know their students are better prepared if they've taken time to figure out why they're coming to college in the first place. And so we're working to advocate for policies and practices that start to encourage, if not someday require, this year before kids set foot on campus.
Yeah. Well, we ought to ask in our final minute, Abby, what if someone's interested in a bridge year with Global Citizen, what do they do?
Come to our website, globalcitizenyear.org. You will meet fellows and alumni. You'll read stories from the field. You'll have the opportunity to immerse yourself just through our website in what this experience can be. We look out at the 30,000 high schools across America, and I know there is at least one kid in every one of those schools who, if they understood this opportunity, would raise their hand and say, I have always been looking for something like this. This is my next step. And so I would encourage everybody who's listening this morning, check out the website, share it with the young people in your life, plant the seed early, because sometimes the senior year is a little bit too late because you're already so hardwired to be going straight to college. Inspire young people to aspire to this as their next step after high school. And this is how we're going to change the country and change the world.
Thank you both very much for being with us. Sarah, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Candy from Kenosha. She's preparing to go on her bridge year or gap year. Abby Falick is the founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.